So mega. The injunction of the pasuk is that a person should not be smart. In English, I guess we would say, "Don't be an oibe chacham." You know that expression in English?
Yeah.
There are certain people that trust their intelligence a little bit too much. Sometimes that's true in life, and sometimes that's the consequences of that are very severe in life. People are not likely, if they trust themselves that much, to ask aitzes of others. And whether they're expert or they're not expert, sometimes you can have consequences in the medical aspects of life, sometimes in the parnasa aspects of life, sometimes in much more ruchnistika aspects of life. There are many people who have no concept that it's kedai to consult a rav about life. They may even come to a rav about a psak halacha when it's a very cut and dry technical detail. There are very few people who would want to get married without a mesad de kedushin. But very few people who do have a mesad de kedushin are interested in discussing with them the yesoidus of marriage. You know, I always point out, this is a parenthetic remark for sure, but I always point out that in Chazal we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezaveg zivugim. Yes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts couples together and makes shidduchim. As far as I know, and you're welcome to challenge me if you know otherwise, I don't think it says anywhere in Chazal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekayim zivugim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserves the marriage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work is to bring the couples together. After that, 90% of it, there's always siyata d'shmaya in everything, but 90% of it is haravanya. Hard work, struggling to make that relationship succeed. And it's a remarkable thing, the amount of work that goes into doing a shidduch. The way the chos and the kala preen themselves, the way they get dressed up for the dates, the sensitivity to every move and every gesture, and after the marriage takes place, it's garnished. You know, you know, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, famous that he used to fix himself up, you know, right before he walked up the steps to his house, and they asked him, "My hi?" So he says, "Well, I'm going to greet the Shechina, because when the Shalom ben Ishli Ishtai, Shechina Shruya Beinayim, when you go to greet the Shechina, you have to look like a mensch." This is a madrega, you know, but the basics. So there is always someone that cares about you, that has a lot of life experience, that has maybe a Yediyas HaTorah that goes with Das Torah, and people who consult with them, there's very, very great likelihood that they will avoid at least many of the pitfalls and mistakes that couples make. But who has a Havamina to go with my problems if I understand everything myself? So this idea of Al Tehi Chacham Be'einecha ranges far beyond pure Torah, but in Torah itself, it's a disaster. You know that they are explanations of the punishment that was meted out between Pesach and Shavuos to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And they say that the reason that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim was so severely punished with a Magefa, with Askara, which is a horrible Misa, for what? For Loinagu Kovet Zeba Zeh? It doesn't seem that the punishment fits the crime, as they say. Like Navu Kovet Zeba Zeh, but that they should all die out. And also, what do you have against Rabbi Akiva? Imagine the amount of kayach and energy and effort to bring these Talmidim to the level that they were on. And all of a sudden, he's left with nothing? 24,000 Talmidim? They point out that the Gemara, when it mentions the number, does something interesting about the number. It seems to minimize or reduce the impression by saying 12,000 pairs. if you want to make a roshim of the disaster, of the extent of the loss, you would always want to mention a larger number. Now everybody knows that 12,000 times 2 is equal to 24,000. But still, the ring of 24,000 is much stronger. So why? The answer is that in that expression of 12,000 pairs, zugais, lies the problem. The tzara is being defined in the fact that they were chavrusas. And the pasuk that speaks about two people who learned Torah, that the Shekhinah is there, it's Oz Nidbaru Yirei Hashem Ish El Reyehu. Nidbaru is a very extraordinary word. It does not say Oz Dibru Ish El Reyehu, which we would perhaps expect. They spoke in learning to one another. What's the difference between Dibru and Nidbaru? Nidbaru is a reflection of the other person's ideas of Torah. Because you can have two different kinds of chavrusa situations. I have a huge amount of Torah to offer. I need to express my Torah. I can't talk to the wall. So I have to have a chavrusa b'di'evet. I don't care about that person, and I'm certainly not interested in what he has to say. Because what could he possibly contribute that would in any way amplify or enhance my brilliant ideas? Oh, but I need a chavrusa. So I have to enter into a miniature social contract with him, because he also has his tiras and his ideas. So there are two ships passing in the fog. I'm saying my thing because I need to express myself. I'm willing to listen to you. The other fellow the same. That's not a chavrusa. A chavrusa is dafka. I want to hear what you have to say so I can amplify and embellish my thinking and improve upon what I accomplished on my own. I want you to criticize my tiras. I want you to prove me wrong. And in that dialogue comes out a tira mefu'eres. Masha Ein came, and even a Rebbe, by the way, Derech Agav, even a Rebbe who refuses to hear the Talmidim, what do they know? I'm here, I'm paid to give a shir. It's a terrible thing. The Rambam says in Hilchas Talmud Torah that just like an eitz katan is madlik an eitz gadol, when you make a bonfire, you can't start lighting a big log, it doesn't catch. So you light a little splint and you put it in between the big logs, and that's how the bonfire grows and bursts into flame. And this is exactly, says the Rambam, a young, burgeoning Talmud can sometimes be madlik, the fire of Torah, of the great Talmud Chacham, who is his Rebbe. And then, of course, he quotes the very famous Chazal, Mi Talmidai Yosem Mikula. So this is the idea, even by a Rebbe in a Talmud, Kal v'chomer by Chavrusas. So the ideal chavrusa is a nidbaru chavrusa. It's a chavrusa that is not, I'm talking to you. I am reflecting you. Nidbaru, nifal. So, oz nidbaru yirei Hashem yishol reyehu. Why does it say yirei Hashem? Should oz nidbaru lam de Torah. The Torah says, on yirei shamayim, the gaiva creeps in, and you don't want to listen to the other person. And that's exactly what this pasuk says also. Al ti chochem beinecha. So the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were not the Nidbaru. They were zugais. We were not noyei kovet ze bazeh, created a warped Torah. Because in the Kinyonei HaTorah was missing the consequences of Nidbaru. That's what was missing. And Memele, the Torah was not a Torah of Nidbaru. Now Rav Aaron and Mishnas Rav Aaron and others make this point, Zichroinam Levracha, that the Nidbaru type of Talmud is always interested first in what the other one has to say, and only then in responding to it, rather than simply giving his Torah out regardless of the other Chavrusa. That's a Dibru Chavrusa, not a Nidbaru Chavrusa. That's not Yirei Hashem Ishal Reyehu. And in Memele, it's not Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma. But you have thousands of these people with a warped Torah, which was not a Torah of consequence that came from what? From the Nidbaru relationship. Had to be a warped Torah. And Memele, they were eliminated, not because it's a punishment for Loino Agu Kovet. Where did you hear that Lein Agur Kavod deserves the punishment of such a horrible death? Or that they should be killed altogether? And the Teretz is, he needed to start from scratch. You needed Talmidim who were the Nidru Talmidim. And Memeli had the five Talmidim Shebedar. And from there, the Torah came down to us. No one will know. You know, there's no way of understanding. There's no way of understanding Kemat anything that happened in the life of Rebbe Akiva. That's the truth, from the beginning until the very end, until the Masai Tavai Mitzvah Zuli Yodi VaKayimena VaAfter Les Hashem B'Chol Nafshecha. You see that Moshe Rabbeinu or the Marisha, maybe even Zug Torah V'Zuz Chora. You know, from the beginning till the end, you understand a girl that has access to the best bacher in Brisk. The best bacher, whatever. Best bacher. The best bacher in all of Yerushalayim. Father is a tremendous Maiker Rabbanon, tremendous Baal Tzedaka, has every yeshiva probably in his pocket. Can't imagine a woman more likely to find the Choshes, the Talmud Chacham, and the biggest and brightest. And that is another thing. Yichus is a big deal. It is. So, whether it's the number one deal or not is a different story. But it is a factor. It is a quality. It is an aspect. A kam of a kam ha'ichachos to it. Nevertheless, she finds this shepherd, who's an Amma Aretz, and she informs her father, that's the one I'm going to marry. What girl tells her father who she's going to marry? It's always the other way around. I found a very good bacher for you. He's a Mitzuyan Nifla. And it's a great shidduch. And she says, yeah, Tati, of course. The whole thing is a pella from beginning to end. From beginning to end. And Rebbe Akiva laughs when everybody's crying. You know, the whole of Rebbe Akiva's life, one gemara after another, is a pella. So I think this is probably one of the mysteries. But this is Alti Chacham Be'enecha. In Torah itself, the Chacham Be'enecha is a disaster. A disaster. The person who thinks he knows. Now the emerson is, I don't even understand how a person could come to the Madrega of Chacham Be'enecha. And I'll tell you why. We open up any Gemara and you see a Gilyon HaShas of Reb Kiva Eger on the bottom. There's a famous, I don't know if it's even true, but there's a story that goes around that someone came to the Satmar Rav with for a Haskama on his Sefer. That Sefer was that he answered all the questions of Kiva Egan. So he comes to the Satmar Rav and he tells them that I wrote a Sefer and I answered all the questions that Kiva Egan has in the Gilyon HaShas except for one. One I couldn't find the answer to. So they say that the Satmar Rav turned to his Gabbai and said to him, at least one Reb Kiva Egan understood. But you go to Reb Kiva Egan, there are biographies that are coming out over time and some of them are very sophisticated and they quote a lot of Sfarim and so on. It's not just one. So there's a biography of Kiva Egan. There's a Maisel Moshel that Kiva Egan was once when came to Warsaw. I believe it was Warsaw. And the whole city came out to greet him. And, you know, the typical thing, you unhitch the horses and you pull the wagon. And Rebbe Kiva Eger describes the Kvod Malachim that he received from this town which to him meant Kavod HaTorah. And then he's writing this to his son. And then he writes, U'mishna loizozo mimekoyma. Which Mishnah are we talking about? That the Mishnah is a phrase, Mishnah Lozazim Kaima from Gemara. But he wrote it, the Mishnah didn't budge an inch. The Mishnah of Ma'od Ma'od Havei Shval Ruach. There was no bigger onav than Rebbe Kiva Egger. The man was the genius of geniuses, an unbelievable capacity, a phenomenal zikaron, creativity, and the eyes of a child's curiosity his entire life. This is an incredible gift from Hashem. And Afal P. Kain, nothing. He made from himself nothing. And he was always wondering, what's the big tumult? You know, what's... So, you open up a Gemara. The average young Talmud Chacham whippersnapper, you know, and he looks at a Gilyan Hashas. Where do you have, after that Gilyan Hashas, you're finished? Is lahafich. I would imagine that people most of the time have to wonder, what am I doing with this Torah? Where do I belong to any of this? Person walks in, we just lost a shochen, Dr. Aaron Price, Rabbi Lezer Aaron Price. He was a world-class mathematician. He wrote books and papers and was invited to conference after conference. He was one of the top mathematicians in the world. An unbelievable honor. But the point that I'm making is, people who were friendly with him and were close to him, and it's Kroivim, so you know, when he put out a paper, write a book, they would be like, mitoch the ava to him, they would want to see, like, what's it all about? You couldn't get past the first line. And all kinds of sophisticated, beyond differential equations, and you started looking at the thing, it's all Greek. To a great extent, it is Greek. Greek Isaias. But the fact of the matter is, imagine a person who's a brilliant young high school student in Bronx High School of Science, you know. Would it dawn upon him to say that he's on the level or in the league of this professor who's in the Courant Institute or in Princeton or in Temple University or wherever he was? So Terrence says, of course not. Maybe, after years and years of study, and he's a genius to begin with, kulei hai v'ulai. But in learning, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a Torah and tells Chaim Yankel, the simple schlepper who has an average mind and is not a genius by any stretch of anybody's imagination, you know, you have a chelik in this Torah. In the Torah that Reb Kivega has a chelik, and the Vilna Gaon has a chelik, and Lamala, Reb Akiva has a chelik, and Moshe Rabbeinu has a chelik. It's mind-boggling. And it's the greatest gift you could possibly imagine. But in conjunction with that sense that I should have some Hava Amina, no matter how much I know and how well I know it, that I'm a player, that I'm on the level, that there's some car for gaiva. It's absurd. But afal pi kein, afal pi chochem beinecha is a problem. It's a problem. And people delude themselves in such a way. So the Vilna Gaon on this pasuk, as is his wont, as is his with this incredible kayach, so he says that afal pi chochem beinecha refers to the deeper insights of Torah, which we call Sisrei Tamei HaTorah. Don't think that you will be able to master these things and say Matzasi Chochma. By the way, it goes without saying, I don't want to go into a diatribe about this, but the fact of the matter is that the idea that people have today that Kabbalah has to come out into the open has created a very unfortunate corollary. Whether it should come out in the open or not is a different story. But the corollary is that everybody's a balabas over Kabbalah in Yonim. And it's so beyond the truth. It's such a sheker. And it's also alti chochem beinecha. Why not? As long as it's explained to me and as long as I understand it in English and as long as I... So, you know, why not? Belongs to everybody. Rak Yiroes Hashem Koidem Aveira Tira Milafonov, right? Veloi Tase Ushvar Yitzur Chohara. He says that Yirei Hashem, it says, and Sur Meira. He learns Sur Meira means after the fact. You're involved in the Ra? Get away from it. What's Yiroes Hashem? Don't be involved in it to begin with. And we'll soon take a look at a Meiridika Al-Shich, which I discovered after learning it again and again, I discovered something, a nugget, which I did not know before, in this Al-Shich, which we have later in the sheets. But the Gaon says that the words Yiroes Hashem means Koidem HaMaiseh. Koidem HaVeira Tira Milafonov. Ushvar Yitzchara, break the Yitzchara before he gets to you. Vesur meira veim koshalta bavaynecha tira losur meira v'asei tshuva, and then he adds that here you have chokhma bina and das. How so? Veheneged chochma ubina, ki yiras Hashem hi chochma, v'sur meira bina. Ulamalo amar b'chol drachecha do'ehu, shehu hadas, harei chochma bina and das. I have a very simple question to ask you about this gra. What is the connection between the first phrase, Al tehi chochem be'inecha, which the Goyin says refers to Sisrei Tamei HaTorah, and the rest of the pasuk? In other words, his rak. Al tehi chochem be'inecha lamed al Sisrei Tamei Torah u'motayim ha'matzasi chochma, rak yiroh es Hashem kodem aveira, v'sur meiroh im kashalta ba'aveira. In other words, I could see both points separate and apart from one another. What combines them together? I can see the point, Al tehi chochem be'inecha, where do you have a shaychus to, especially the chelik of Torah called Tamei Sisrei HaTorah? And a person who thinks that this is his province and this is his domain is making a terrible mistake most of the time. But then I can also see that a person should be Yoreis Hashem Lifnei Aveira and try to break the Yetzirah dead in its tracks. And if he fails and he succumbs, he should try to escape from the clutches of the Yetzirah that has grabbed him after the fact. But what do the two things have to do with each other? What is the Al tehi chochem be'inecha have to do with rak yiroh es Hashem? So it seems to me that implicit, he doesn't spell it out at all, but implicit in the Musar, the way the Goyin is explaining it, is the following. Sisrei Torah represents a very dangerous ground where Yiras Shamayim is always in danger. Much more so than Nigla. Because Sisrei Torah, in the end, seems to say that what you see is not what you get. What I mean to say is, when you have Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and it's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, so the Torah is already spelling out for you what it wants from you. Sur Meira and Asei Toiv. But if Aleph is that Aleph, and I might add, who knows what it is, and Beis is not Beis, and Gimel is not Gimel, that leaves room for a person to maneuver and manipulate. I'll give you a very simple analogy. If I think that what the Torah says when it's black on white is gray, when I think it's a mashal ba'alma, and it's referring to something else that is esoteric, and that what says beferish about you is really about the Shechina, or about the Midah of Yesod, or whatever it is, which to begin with that person doesn't understand b'chlal what he's talking about, but it allows him to escape, as it were, the pshutei kemashmoi of Torah, and therefore he does not have to listen. So a lot of the people who are delving into these inyanim are not even shomer Torah mitzvahs, because it transports you, of course it's absurd, but it transports you into a world which is symbolic, which has all kinds of reference points to a higher world. But in this world, I can be a bum. You see my point? So the Al tehi chochem be'inecha challenge in the esoterics is even greater than in a piece of Gemara. The chance of my confounding the Gemara Rashi and Tosfos is much less, because he tells me black on white. He tells me what it is. But, you know, v'chadoidi l'kras kala p'nei Shabbos nekabla. Who's the kala and who's the doit? So, very complicated. But everybody knows that Kabbalah Shabbos, you have to be Mekabel Shabbos before the Shkia, you know? You understand my point? Start getting involved in Shabbos Malkisah, and before you know it, you may forget that Shabbos is Issa Malacha. That's the Al tehi chochem be'inecha. So the extent of, that's why, you know, it was my minig, and it continues to be the minig of many, that before I learn a piece of Zohar, I go to the mikveh. There's no such thing. You have to have an extra measure of Torah and an unbelievable amount of Siyata Deshmaya to get anything right. And that's why there are experts in Zayar that are in holding chairs of Kabbalah and mysticism in all the universities. No question about it. And that's why you have mystics and people who are experts in the Kabbalah mysticism, maybe know the Zohar by heart, who are Catholics. Arelim Mamish. So what's the pshat? Teretz is, once you endow them as al yarnim, the sky is the limit. Pardon the play on words. But the fact of the matter is that if you have Yira Shamayim, and you approach it v'medav, so then of course you have a chance to be Mamid Allah Emes, even in Sisrei Torah. But that's really the point of the Gra, as I, Ani HaKotan, understand it. That dafka in those areas, you need a super Yira Shamayim, not to get trapped in your own gaivadika perception that I have already reached out to the esoteric, why do I need the here and now? What's it nogeya to me? And that's why when they had this horrible moment in the history of Klal Yisrael, of Shabtai Tzvi, so he made a bracha baruch mater asurim, and he did, engaged in all kinds of really horrible averis. And this is all Kabbalistic, you know, it's Kabbalistic. So, you know, that's the pshat. But I wanted you to take a look at the Alshech. The Alshech HaKadosh is very interesting. The Alshech is quoting his own Sefer on Mishlei. His own Biur on Mishlei. This is the Alshech in Chumash in Vayikra, but he's quoting himself Mishlei. And he's telling over the story, which I've mentioned in the past, of Rabbi Amram Chasida, the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin. And there's one line here which is very remarkable and reflects back on the Goyin's distinction between Yiras Hashem, which is to anticipate and evade the Yetzer Hara's clutches to begin with, and Sur Meira, which is abandon the Ra that you're already in. Right? Yiras Hashem Lifnei and Sur Meira Lacha. He asks a very, very basic question. The Gemara tells us in Brachas Daf Chof Chesamet Beis, as you see in the notes, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his Talmidov, to his Talmidim, right? They asked him at the end of his days, Rabbi, give us a bracha. And he said, Yehi Ratzayin, very interesting, Brachas, he didn't tell them you should have mazel and nachas and hatzlacha b'chol inyonim. He said Yehi Ratzayin. He said a tefillah. Yehi Ratzayin sheyehei meira shamayim aleichem k'meira basa v'dam. The Talmidim, of course, did not allow that to go unnoticed. It's not stam yehir a bracha. Rebbe, they said to him, ad kan. That's it. In other words, our Mora Shamayim should be like a Mora Basav Adon, nothing more, and that's a tefillah, that's a bakasha, that in that lies a big bracha, like as if to say, halavai, it should be like that. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answers them, yes, exactly. And he says, v'om Elohim, odom over avera baseser, v'omer, why does he do it by seser, wasn't he doing public? Shema yirani shum odom, v'einoy oimer shema yirani hamokai. Because otherwise, what does it help us say, sir? He sees you wherever you are. So what is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saying? You see that the concern for Bas of Adam and the busha that comes from the realization that that person is not what he purports to be, he's not the tzaddik, he's not the Talmud Chacham, he's not the Yirei Shamayim, but he's an Oiver Averos, is a bigger fear and a bigger concern than what the Rabbanu Shalom thinks of you. And that you are spitting him in the face. So the Alshech asks, "Ki gam ato achar chuvasoi kushyosam b'mekayma imedes." The Alshech asks, "They said, and no more." So who are we talking about? We're talking about regular people. We're talking about the top talmidim of the biggest gadol ador, of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Dor. of the Marbitz Torah of the Dor, the one who's continuing the Masorah, Tein Li Yavne V'Chachomel. What are we talking about over here? So these people who are on such an incredibly high, imagine a collection of the five greatest Mashgichim and the greatest Yeshivas. And he's telling them, Halavai, that your Mor Shamayim should be like a Mor Bas of Adam. So they say, Rebbe, that's what you wish upon us? Nothing more? So he says, yeah, because people's Yira Shamayim is not the same as Yira's Bas of Adam. For Haraya, they'll do the Aveira Baseser and they're afraid, Shema Yirani Adam. Yeah, that's people. Those are the people that we talk to. But that's not us. So the Al-Sheikh is asking, the Kushyasim b'mekayim le'medes, but what about us? That's what he asks. V'chimi chashidi be'enov, shechamisha talmidim g'doy le'olam, kulam yoimru shema yirani shumadam v'lo shema yirani amokai. So if he was talking in general, mela, but they asked for a bracha, means he's directing this specifically to them. To them it should be like my rabbis of Adam. So he asks, what's the teretz? So he says, he tells now the Maisa of Rav Amram Chassidah. And he says, Maisa Shekara Gemara Kedushin Peyalef Amin Aleph, Shekara La Rav Amram Chassidah. Imagine the Gemara uses a lotion of Chassidah very, very rarely. Very rarely. And Rav Amram was called Rav Amram Chassid. Shepada Shtei Rivois Yefei Fiois. He was Isaac and Pidyon Shvuyim, and there were two beautiful young women who were taken captive by the Goyim, and they were redeemed. They were redeemed from their captivity. They were taken back into Jewish hands, and they stayed in his attic overnight. V'hel oisam ba'aliyah v'yosar satsulam mimekoyma. This is not the Lashon of the Gemara, by the way. It's very interesting. It's the way the Al-Sheikh is telling the story. And it's very interesting also, the way a Gadol, you know, from the Gedolei Olam tells a Gemara is very important. So he you know, if somebody Stam wrote it, if I asked the Talmud, write me up in your own words the story of Rav Amram Chassidah, he could make 10,000 mistakes in his understanding of the subtlety of every word and nuance, because the Gemara is very much bekitzer. But this is the Al-Sheikh talking. And we have the zuchus of having the Al-Sheikh's, it's called Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, that the Al-Sheikh, his way of reading that Gemara. It's a tremendous zuchus. Vahi ayoyim vayecham libay. Vayate es asulam al elho aliyah, vayochel alois, vayidenu beemtza hasulam, vayach liboy oisai, ki, right, ki yeira olav hamaisa hu ashezomam lasis. He goes after these, it's amazing. Rav Amram Chassidah, they trusted him that he should be the one who has these two beautiful but very defenseless, who's caring about them. They're in the middle of nowhere and they were just in captivity with all of the innuendo that is associated with that. And they say, Rav Amram Chassidah. And then, of course, what he doesn't mention here is that the Gemara says that the ladder was massively heavy and it required several people to carry it to its place, and that he had put them in the loft, in the attic, and then removed the ladder. The people pushed the ladder away and they left him alone. There wasn't even a Shaila of Yichud because it was physically impossible for them to come down and for him to go up. He takes the ladder single-handedly, and the fire in him, which is incredible. What happened over there that all of a sudden it snapped? All that Yira Shamayim, all that everything, it snapped. And he has suddenly this need to go up, and there's no way to get up there unless you push the ladder over. And he's certainly not calling any of his friends. So he pushes the ladder single-handedly, like Lahavdil, when a person, his friend, is caught under a big log or under the bottom of a car, and there's nobody around. And they tell stories about people who, they tried it again 1,000 times, they weren't able to do it. But in that moment, the adrenaline and the muscles and everything, they literally lifted up the car to save their chaver. He took that ladder and he pushed it over to the opening single-handedly, and he started climbing up the steps. In the middle of the climb, all of a sudden, vayach liboy. The Yetzer Tov starts talking to him, what are you doing, Amram? So what would we expect should be the next moment? What's next? He chaps himself. He wakes up from that ruach shtus. He wakes up from the fog. And he realizes, Veizmir, what I almost did. And he jumps off the ladder, runs out of the house, runs into the base of Medrash, and stays there the rest of the night. He's paralyzed. He cannot move. He can't go up, but he doesn't want to go down. It's pure ploy. How does he say it? He started going down. He couldn't go down either. The Yetzirah is telling him, keep going. And the Yetzer Tov says, don't you dare. And he's paralyzed and he's frozen in his tracks. Now, he saw he could not conquer his Yetzer Hara. He knew that any moment now, a few seconds later, and he's back up the ladder. He'll continue climbing the ladder from the place where he stopped, where he was arrested in his movement, and he'll continue and he'll do whatever it is that he'll do. He will not be able to control his Yetzer Hara. So he started screaming, fire, on the top of his lungs. The people in the neighborhood, when they heard fire, they assumed that the house is on fire. And they ran with the bucket brigade, like any sensitive neighbor would, to save Rav Amram's life and the life of those girls and maybe save the house. And they say, Nura Bei Amram, there's a fire in the house of Amram, a fire in the house of Amram. Of course, he's quoting, paraphrasing very beautifully what Yitzchak said to Avram Avinu before the Akedah. But they ask, where's the fire? Where's the fire? Ayeyo Eishu Eitzim. Vayom Aleim. Nura Dechait Dahavadoluk Bekirbi. Again, it's not the Lashon of the Gemara. He's embellishing and amplifying it. It is the fire that is in my pupik. It's the fire that's in me that I cannot control. Amru loy kesaftinon. They said to him, you embarrassed us. You embarrassed us. And here's this big Rav Amram Chassida, and he's supposed to be the Tzadik Ador. And, you know, we're all in this together. It's a reflection on all Talmidei Chachamim. And it's just terrible. Amru lehem mutov she'ezbayish ba'olam hazeh v'loy ba'olam haba. Hine. Ki im yosef amam chosid im kol ze loy otzar koyach mipnei yiras Hashem lo shuv ocher michetoy ad bo anoshim umimoyrom yorad mimaylois ochaz ochoranis. He says, you see from here that even the biggest of the big, the greatest of the great, Rav Amram, who's called Chasida, knew about himself that he could not climb down the ladder on his own and escape the clutches of the Yetzer Hara unless he involved the busha that he would have from people. He had to scream Nura Bayama. Vayala Lev Kigeva Kigarav Amram Layel of Mura Shamayim Shove Lamaira Basav Adam. So here's Sakasha. What is he afraid of the people? He should be, but the Ribbono Shel's present. What happened to the presence of the Ribbono Shel? How could he look the Ribbono Shlolem in the face and continue up the ladder? Yeah. To do the Avera, as Yoyser Kalimona. The Al-Sheikh here does not explain one thing. How did he begin to do the Aveira? This he does not explain. But he says that once he started doing the Aveira, the entrapment, the koyach of the Yetzer Hara that has seized him, paralyzes his Yirah Shamayim to such an extent that even though normally his Yirah Shamayim is much greater than his Yirah Basav Adam. And that he'll do for the Ribbono Shel things that will cause him embarrassment of other people. Because if that's the will of Hashem. Nevertheless, even though before the Aveira, definitely his Yiras Shamayim was greater than his Yiras Basav Adam. But in the midst of the Aveira, his Yiras Shamayim is paralyzed, and he can only escape because of Meira Basav Adam. Continues the Alshuch, and he says, for who Maisa the Rav Amram Chasida, he acha he yoisei b'maisa hara, v'heichel la'alois ba'atzas Yisroi, kvar hechzik Yitzroi boy, v'kosha la'achzar boy. So all of this I saw in the Alshich, but the next line I never paid sufficient attention to, and that's why I highlighted it. What's the difference? So I would have said, because before the Yetzer Hara, so you have more Shikul Hadas. Once the taiva that the Yetzer Hara has imposed upon me has gotten into my bones, it's very hard for me to have the conscience and the Seichel HaYosher that normally guides me. But he doesn't say that. You know what he says? He says, Ki gam min ha-shamayim yirpu mimenu milisayoi. This is an unbelievable chiddush. He says, you know why, while he's in the midst of the chait, is it so much harder? Because as the Gemara says, and we learned this Gemara a number of times in the past Shiurim, the Ribbono Shel Olam, if he wouldn't help us, we would never be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. So he says, when a person is anticipating the Aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you to avoid the Aveira. But when somebody rejects that and refuses HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, Ke'ilu, and engages in the type of the Yetzer Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu retreats. That's what he says. Ki gam min ha-shamayim yirpu mimenu, herif mimeni. Leave me alone. They will drop him. Milisayoi, from helping him. And without that siyata d'shmaya, it becomes impossible to escape. It is at that point where Meira Basav Adam can accomplish what Meira Shamayim can no longer accomplish. Das Dr. Al Shech HaKadosh. So when he was telling them in the Talmidim, right? Because then Avada, your big Bali Madrega, and certainly your Meir Shamayim is extraordinarily great. I didn't say it before. Ki im yetzer samuch yiyaitz laidiach, v'loima asei avera plainis. If a Yetzara comes to you and you do not succumb, then of course you will not do it because of your Yiras Shamayim, not because of Yiras Basav Adam. You're on a very high madrega. Ach, asher amarti b'yos kvara aveira b'yad Adam. V'zeu omro Adam over aveira baseiser. Kloima shekvaru over uboyeve. He's in the midst of the aveira. Ki oz minolo yozus mimora Shamayim. On account of Mor Shamayim, he will not stop. And that's what he says. The Zekh Savnu Sham in his Pirshan Mishlei, Shekiven Shloime b'Chach Masay ba'Amroi, Alti Chacham be'Necha Yiras Hashem Loimar, Alti Chacham be'Necha Loimar, Ki me Atzmacha Teida Lizor Min Ayetzara, Mi Bli Moy Atzaisai, Ki Hine Baza Anasaischa. Vehu yirayas Hashem v'sur meira, kloima machmas yiras Hashem, b'li basav adam, sur uprosh mi'arash atah bo, v'oz yukarim chochamata. So he teaches the pasuk that way. He says, don't think that you will be able, no matter who you are, to guarantee that you'll pull yourself with your own bootstraps, as it were, out of your mess that you created, if you're already succumbing to the Aveira. So the kasha b'mekayma imedes, such a person like Rav Amram Chasida, what inspires him, in quotation marks, to go and do the Aveira to begin with? This is the question. Because according to the Al-Sheikh, Adarabba, if you're talking about a person as such Meira Shamayim, so, and it's not yet in the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. He's not yet on the ladder. He has not yet pulled the ladder, which is almost humanly impossible, to the place of the opening. So what is making him want to do that? To tell a maisa of Rabbi Elia Lapian, that in the Ba'achris Yomav, he was already a Zokin Muflog. He became very agitated about the possibility of Yichud with an old lady. Yichud, that he's in the same room alone with an old lady. So someone asked him, maybe with a smile on his face, I don't know, but someone asked him, Reb Elia, what are we talking about here? What's the chance of anything happening over here? You know, what are we talking about? So he didn't answer loy plug chachamim b'takonosam, that the halacha is a halacha, doesn't matter what, because it's across the board. No, he didn't answer that. He said that the Yetzirah's koyach is to make me young and to make her beautiful. What's the pshat in that? 100 years, not quite, but so many years of Musa, so many years of Torah, so many years of teaching others. Expect that it's a vessel that can't possibly develop a hole in its bottom and sink. It's a perfect vessel. The ship is mamish, ironclad, you know. That's right. That's the Titanic. That's the Alti Chochem Be'inecho as a Meirudik Hizach. The koyach of the Yetzer to confound the person is a mystery. That's what I wanted to tell you. It makes no sense. It runs against every bit of logic. The Chazal that says Ein Adam Chayte Elam Keinichnas Bay Ruach Shtus gives the explanation, but doesn't give the explanation. Because where does that Ruach Shtus come from? An intelligent person is not supposed to have a Ruach Shtus. You're not supposed to think retarded thoughts. Think about it for a minute. Let's think about it. Rabbi Amram Chasida is a Maimon ben Maminim. He believes there's an Olam Hazeh, there's an Olam Haba, there's a Gan Eden, there's a Gehenna. He also knows that he, in his level and his stature, not in the eyes of others, in his own eyes, in the eyes of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, there's no shaykhus to a couple of girls. The Gemara says, Isha chemos molei tzaya ufiha molei dam. And the same makam haturfa that everybody's chasing after is also the makam of the tzaya, more or less. It's pili ploy. So what is the pshat? So the pshat is that ruach shtus, by definition, is incomprehensible. It is that mysterious quality in a person to be both logical and the height of absurdity. And 90% of it is evident in his hasaga of women, and 10% in his hasaga of money. What people will do for money is totally absurd. And again, ma'aminim b'nai ma'aminim, we just had a ma'isa. I never talk politics, and I never talk what's happening in the street, because it's not kedai. Torah is eternal, and people make inferences, and they can learn from the eternity of Torah just as well as from what happened yesterday in the marketplace. And you avoid Lashon Hara and Rechilus and Shtutzim and Havolim and all kinds of Bilbulim Shal Sheker and being Dan Adam Lekaf Chayva and so on. But Bahamevin Yovin, the person has opportunity to do tzedakah and chesed. He has an opportunity to give his money that he honestly earned. Amavazbiz al yevazbiz yoysim v'chaymash. And the rest of it he uses the way a Yid is supposed to use his money, which he acquired through by dint of his efforts, which he acquired with sensitivity, which he acquired with Kedusha and Tara, which he acquired Chayav Adam Lavidus, B'chol Koichai, B'chol Zmanai. And then he sleeps at night. And then he's Zaychet Echai Olam Abba. B'shachavta V'orva Shnasecha. You have a person that who knows why takes millions and millions of people, many of them Erlich Yidden, and many of them it's their last the money. Somebody told me recently, not from today or from yesterday, but somebody says that there was a man who was making all kinds of big monies for everybody. There's no such thing. Why, when all of a sudden he's the Chacham and the Kolada? The Teretz is he was taking in monies and he was paying back the previous people massive amounts, and they thought that he's a genius, everybody else is going down the tubes and he's just going up and up and up and up. You understand? But behind that fantasy is the average person's taiva to also be a big shot, which is absurd. And as the Mesilas Yesharim said, if a person would satisfy and be mistapik b'muad, it's not a big problem making a panasa. Of course, he didn't live today in New York, but Abba Lamaisa, the fact of the matter is that the appetite is a fantasy. The human being is Hayoim Kanu Mochar Bakever. Who are you building this house for? So I always tell you the Maisa that the fellow, I walked into this forum store and he tells me, you know, somebody just bought 64 mezuzahs for his house.
64?
And then he tells me, and you know, that he has quite a few rooms that don't have mezuzahs. He meant like he has 14 bathrooms, you know. So what? And such people, G'dol Achlos HaTzorchim Yosem Pnei Mekabolos Pnei HaShechina. Two people live in this house and they never want any guests because you're messing up the carpet. You know how much this carpet costs? What? So you have the Chofetz Chaim. Somebody brought in a couch. Mistama, who knows what that couch looked like to begin with. And he says, what did you do? Get it out immediately. He said, like somebody would bring in a dead rat. I'm serious. He said, get it out. And he tells the person, you know, how could you live like this? What do you mean? When you go on a trip, you don't bring all of your things with you because you're on a trip. This is a prize door. It's not the traklin. It's only just temporary. I told you. It's not a bias. It's an oil. That's what you have to learn in Yerushalayim when you go l'aliyah l'regel, that it's only an oil. So comes along a fellow and he eats hundreds of people alive. For what? That's the 10% that I'm talking about. It's a meiridika koyach of ruach shtus that's built into the person that we have to know, and that's the alti chochem beinecha that we have to know is shayach even for an Amram Chasida. The Gemara would never have told such a story except because you need to hear that somebody on that madrega. What do we learn from Abba Amram Chasida's two meiridika yesaidis? One is about human nature, and the other one is about the capacity of Rav Amram Chasida, the tzidkus of Rav Amram Chasida. Who would be maskim in the midst of the throes of the Yetzer Hara to ruin his reputation? Who would be maskim to such a thing? Nobody. In the Meira Bos of Adam, let's think about it for a minute. I have this, not if I had the Al Shech HaKadosh in front of me and I could talk to him for an hour, I would ask him the following question. Let's revisit, for 2 minutes, let's revisit Rabbi Amram Chasida's story. Because he speaks about the Marabas of Adam being greater than the Mar Shamayim once you're in the midst of the Aveira, and the explanation is because Gagamina Shamayim, they will stop being Messiah him because he already has sunk to some extent. Or because that makes the Nisayon even greater, and that's what Hashem wants to see. Do you climb out of your Nisayon? So then he needs the Mayrabas of Adam. Think about it for a minute. What is the Pshat Mayrabas of Adam? Normally you look at Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Maisa and you say like this: I want to rob the bank. I want to rob the bank. I have a taiva for money and I want to rob the bank. The Rebbeinu Shlom says, you're not supposed to rob banks. I know that the guard is fast asleep. He was drugged and he's fast asleep. The door is wide open. The safe is wide open. And no one will ever know except the Eibishter. I go in and I take all the money. Scene number two. The guard is not only awake, but there are six guards, and each one of them has a machine gun. The door is wide open. Why don't I go? Because I'm going to get killed. So why am I not afraid of the Ribbono Shel like I'm afraid of the Bas of Adam? That's Mara Shamayim. Should be like Mara Bas of Adam. So the Al Sheikh is the Kasha. So he brought the Gemara of Nura Bayamram. Think for a minute about Nur Bayamram. Is that really a case of Mayra Bas of Adam? Think about it for a minute. This is the way I look at it. Rav Amram Chasida had this tremendous problem, but there's no question that nobody except the most insane Baal Taiva, who's probably Potter Mikol HaMitzvah Shabbat Torah, because he's mamish crazy, will chase after the Shavuyos in the company of a whole entourage of people holding buckets of water, noch dazu. No, you have to understand the scene. In other words, what Rav Amram Chasida was doing, he wasn't creating a matzav of Moira Bas of Adam. He was creating a matzav that makes the shtus bottle. Because it's like turning on the lights. You understand what I'm saying? It's not the same anymore. Just as much as it's possible to create a taiva, it's also possible to destroy a taiva. If the circumstances present themselves, you can mamish destroy a taiva. You turn on all the lights, all of a sudden there's a lot of people milling around, and all of a sudden, this is not shayach. It doesn't have the intimacy, it doesn't have the challenge, it doesn't have the whatever. Whatever the taiva is, I no longer have that taiva. That's what he was doing. But he paid a tremendous price. Because you see, when they walked in here, you know what they found? They found no fire, and they found an Amram Chasida in the middle of a ladder that's not movable by one person, and the girls are upstairs. And it doesn't take much to put what they say two and two together. And this is what they said: you embarrassed us. Not embarrassed that you call fire in the middle of the night and there's no fire. That's not the point. The point was, we suddenly discovered that Rav Amram Chasida is not only human, but maybe... So how could you do that? So he said, well, that's very nice, but I would have succumbed and I would have done the Aveira. Nobody would have known about it. And the next morning, I come to shul. Rav Amram, please, sit in the front seat over here. You know, and then it comes to Shishi. And of course, who did they give Shishi to? Or whatever the Aliyah was. That was Mechubit at the time. They may even give him the Kayin instead of the regular Kayin. And they give him the Aliyah. And he says, no, please don't. You know, he's remembering what happened last night. And they say, no, Amram Chasida, there's nobody more like you. And you know. And then he comes to Shamayim. And I, like I said, somebody's nifter. And they ask him, where do you want to go? You're a tzaddik. You can go to the third floor, the fifth floor, this compartment, that compartment. Which tzaddik do you want to be next to? Maybe you want to be next to Avram, next to Yitzchak, next to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, no, that's too much. I want to be next to Rav Amram Chasida. He says, you don't want to be next to Rav Amram Chasida. You really don't. You don't want to be next to Rav Amram Chasida. He says, no, I want to be next to Rav Amram Chasida. Boy, you should see the cover that they gave him. He used to give him Kayin instead of the Kayin, and the whole world was talking about story after story of his tzidkus. I'm telling you, you don't want to be next to Rav Amram Chasida. He says, do me a favor. You gave me the privilege. Let me do it my way. Okay? Nisht is nisht. I warned you. So he takes him to the elevator, and they're going down and down and down and down. He said, wait a minute, you pressed the wrong button. He says, you want to be next to Rabbi Chasida? Here you are. This is Dr. Meir de Kazakh. He says to them, Halavai, it's better, he says, that I should embarrass you here than I should embarrass you in Noi Lamamas. Do you know what it takes to do something like that? It sounds so logical. He wants to go to Gehenna. Baruch Hashem, he broke it. No matter what it takes, but he broke it. He didn't succumb in the end. He didn't do the Maisa. Do you know what kind of a... That's what it is. He broke it by embarrassment. That's probably what the Alshech is trying to say. It was a tremendous Nisayon. That's what he means. Otherwise, I don't understand the connection to the story of Rav Amram Chasida. It's not the bank story that I told you. That there's no guard or there's three guards with machine guns. That's Moira Bas of Adam, greater than Moira Shamayim. Like the Chafetz Chaim's Maisa, he's always looking. This is a different story. The story here is that the only way he can snap the matzav, because he's so caught with the Yetzer Hara, and he realizes that any second now, and it's over. He lost all kayach to fight the Yetzer Hara, is by creating an environment where the Yetzer Hara doesn't have a chance. So he calls in the people, and of course that creates tremendous embarrassment. But it's not his Meribas of Adam that's preventing him from doing the Aveira. It's on the contrary, his willingness to be embarrassing himself that breaks the Aveira. So L'chayr, there's no connection whatsoever to the story. So what does the Alshech HaKadosh want? The Teretz says what he really means, I believe, between the lines is this. His heroism, and the reason that the Gemara tells this story, is it's the high point of his chasidus. No other story that you could tell about Rav Amram Chasida, about how someone told me yesterday that Rav Shizgal Zichrono Livracha, Rav Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law, So a colleague of his in the yeshiva in Be'er Shmuel, he was teaching a certain time in Be'er Shmuel in Brooklyn. So he lived on the Lower East Side. So Kalavi sees that he comes to yeshiva and all of a sudden picks himself up and goes back and leaves. My hi. He forgot to say Ala Michya and to be machmir in the Shita that says that you have to do it b'mekayma, he went back to the East Side to say Ala Michya. That's a chassidus. So they must have told dozens of stories about Rabbi Amram Chassida that we don't even know. Because otherwise, how do you get a name Chassida? It's not like every person's called Chassida. So Rabbi Amram is this extraordinary tzaddik of which there must be stories abounding. The Gemara says there's one story I'll tell you that trumps all the other stories. How a person is willing to destroy his reputation, to shake up the foundations of his whole edifice of chashivus and godless and kavod, if that's what it takes to break the Yetzer Hara in its tracks. That's the pshat. So where does that come from? Why is it such a godless? So they don't care about me. So they think that I'm a fraud. Or they think I'm only human. What's the big deal? The Torah says because reputation is critical to a person. That's why boishes. Malbim pnei chaveru barabim. What do you care? So the guy made a fool of you. What's the big deal? Why is it britzicha? Because that's our nature. We want to protect our covet at all costs. He developed a reputation that was so sterling and so perfect, and he's going to shatter it now in one fell swoop. And nobody's going to think the same of him again, except for the Mevinim. The Mevinim will think much more of him, just like the Gemara. But the regular people, they're all the same. You know, everybody makes believe he's a big tzaddik, but, push comes to shove. Everybody's the same. In the dark, everybody's the same. So he was willing to destroy his reputation. What is that a siman of? Reputation, Moira Basav Adam. But if he wouldn't have that sense of reputation, then what's the Gemara talking about? So of course, call the people and break the mood. The fact that the Gemara is telling the story is about the greatness of Rav Amram Chassida. And the reason it is a great story, and the reason that he is great, is because nobody would ever do such a thing. Why not? Because they have Moira Basav Adam. It's not the Moira of the Basav Adam with the gun. It's the Moira of losing your reputation in the eyes of Basav Adam. That's also Moira Basav Adam. And he was willing to give that up. So you see how much Moira Basav Adam means. This isn't what the Alshech is saying, but maybe I would like to think that that's what he meant.